this morning. Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service on this, I think it's beautiful, but it's a little chilly morning. But don't worry, I saw that tomorrow and Tuesday it's supposed to be in the 60s, so we can all get our shorts and our cutoff shirts and everything on and go swimming for the first 2 days of the week this week. So I expect everybody down at the lake swimming and everything. So a couple of announcements. We will be having Bible study this week, and it will be at Terry and Nora Lee's house Wednesday night, 5 o'clock. Everybody is invited, and if you're able to come, I really wish you would come. We have a good time, even when Terry doesn't make any food or anything like she promises, but she's not here to pick on, you know, she's out there doing something, but that's okay. I'll pick on her whether she's here or not. Oh, here she comes. She heard me talking about her. Uh-oh, she's got her hands on her hips now. Well, I tell you, I might be too scared to do the rest of the service now. In all seriousness, we're in the book of 2 Peter, and we do have a wonderful time. So we would love for you to come if you're able to. And if you don't know where Terry lives, but you would like to come, just let somebody know. I'm sure just about everybody around here knows where Terry and Nora Lee hang out. If you don't know and you forgot to ask, just go on this side of the tracks and look for the cats, and you'll probably be near their house. So that's usually how I find the place. Other than that, we don't have a whole lot going on right now. One thing we did want to mention, while we're in all this COVID stuff with attendance down and everything, giving is down a little bit, and so we have done a few different things to try and help cut costs and things like that. And so one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to shut off this wing of the building so that we can keep the temperature lower over there so we don't have to use heat and all that stuff quite as much. So I know that most people on Sunday mornings come in through this door anyway, but if you happen to be driving, we're going to, starting next Sunday, not have this door open. We're going to just shut those double doors so that that way we can manage the system better. And then as we get vaccines and we get all that kind of stuff, and attendance starts to come up and everything like that, we'll start to reopen those things. But I just want to let everybody know. So if you drive up here on this side next Sunday, then you'll either have to drive around, or you can get your steps in for the day and walk around. Or you can bang on the door and yell, and we'll probably not hear you, but at least you can say you made the effort, right? So other than that, I can't think of anything that's going on. So let us begin our worship service with the chiming of the hour. Whoever was sneezing, God bless you. Our first hymn is going to be This Is the Day. If you are at home and have a United Methodist hymnal, it's number 657. And we're going to sing it through twice. So please stand as you're able as we sing this hymn together. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, traditional version, number 881, for those of you at home who may have a United Methodist hymnal. Let us affirm our faith by reciting this ancient creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I've been given a few before service that I wanted to mention. For those of you who may not know, Marianne Owings is over at Methodist in Oak Ridge. She has congestive heart failure, pneumonia. I don't know if it's in both lungs or just one. I haven't heard. But she has pneumonia nevertheless. And is it a blood infection? Is that what it is? Okay, and a blood infection. I don't know a whole lot about it. Alan sent me a text the other day when she went and told me about it. And then I did happen to see him yesterday when I was over in Oak Ridge. And he told me that she's okay, but... just keep her in your prayers, if you will. They think that the infection is coming from the port that she has for her dialysis and everything. So just keep her in your prayers and the family as well. And Terry has been in touch with Laura. Laura is not going to come just yet. She doesn't feel like she needs to just yet. But keep her in your prayers as well, because they're moving. And I know that her mother is on her mind, as any of us would, you know, have the same feeling. So just keep her in your prayers as she tries to move and also tries to determine if she needs to come for a visit or anything like that. Also, Nancy's sister, Veda Foster, what was it that she broke, Nancy? She broke her shoulder. Apparently, she was doing some MMA fighting or something like that, I think is what Nancy was saying. But no, she broke her shoulder. And otherwise, she's okay. But I can't imagine breaking my shoulder. That sounds extremely painful. So keep Miss Veda Foster in your prayers, if you will. Also, keep Lynette and Liliana in your prayers. They are traveling back from Ohio. The funeral went well and all those kinds of things. I'm sure that her aunt, Charlene, would appreciate everyone's prayers, though I think I may have mentioned last time, this is the third person that she's lost within a year, and all to the same type of cancer. She lost, of course, my father-in-law, which is her brother, and then one of her best friends passed. I don't think it's been a month ago, but it hasn't been long ago. And then now her husband. So just keep her in your prayers. She's a strong lady, but you know, even the strong of us can only take so much. So, and then I've mentioned before, my friend Josh's mother, Dee, they found out that she had colon cancer, and they were able to remove the cancer, the prognosis seems to be good. They're not really concerned all that much. She went through her surgery and she did all the stuff she was supposed to do post-surgery, and I believe she's back home. If she's not, she'll be going home in the next little bit. But just keep her in your prayers. She's a hardworking lady, and she's not one of those people that likes to be sitting around. And for those of us who know people like that or are people like that, we know that part of healing is sitting around, and not sitting around keeps us from healing. So it's, you know, just pray that she'll be able to feel better and to be able to rest and relax as much as possible. Also, keep Larry in your prayers. He sent me a text, I believe it was yesterday, and he's just struggling, you know, with the loss of Alice, of course, and taking care of his dad and all those different things. And his dad keeps falling at the house. But Larry and I were talking. I saw him last week, I think it was, and we've decided that his dad must have drank a lot of milk when he was younger, because he hasn't broken anything. So we're very thankful for that, but he's been banged up and bruised and that kind of stuff. So Larry's just, I know he's frustrated for a lot of different reasons, not necessarily frustrated at his dad, but frustrated at the powerlessness that you can feel at times. So just keep Larry in your prayers. I know he would definitely appreciate it. We have a praise too. Morgan is up and around. Y'all weren't here earlier, but Morgan was doing some jumping jacks and a few cartwheels up here to show me progress that's been made. But Morgan's walking around a little bit, not a whole lot, but as I said earlier, all progress is progress, so we're very thankful for that. And also, Jane, who goes to Chevront, she was actually able to walk up the ramp over at Chevront with a little help. She held Bobby's hand, but that's the most that she's been able to walk since last time she was in the hospital. So we're very thankful for that. Other than that, I can't think of anything. Does anyone else have any requests or praises? Yes, ma'am. You want to keep Chris in our prayers? Okay. We'll continue to pray for Chris. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. We'll keep them in our prayers as well. All right. Does anyone else have any requests or praises? Since I was out this last week, I hadn't really talked to Wanda, but I think she's doing better. I haven't heard she's doing worse, but I believe she's doing better. I know she was able to see the doctor and get all those different things taken care of. So hopefully she's on her way. All right. Well, if no one else has any requests, oh, just so you know, Beth is back in town. We're glad to see Beth back in town. So thank God for traveling safety. And is everything going okay? On Friday? Okay. Okay. Well, we'll continue to pray for all of that, and we're glad to see you back here safe. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your Spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we have many requests today, but we would like to start with praises. We praise you, Lord, for life. We praise you for a building that we can worship you in, that we can have fellowship in. We praise you that even though it's been a difficult year, this last year, we're still here. We are still strong. We thank you, Lord, that there was a peaceful transition of power. A lot of people were very concerned about what might happen. And we praise you, Lord, that everything happened peacefully. We praise you, Lord, for the healing that you have done in our midst, both quick healing as well as gradual healing. Lord, we praise you for all things, because we know that all things, even the difficult, work together for the good for those who trust in you. Now, Lord, we want to ask for our concerns. We pray for Mary Ann, for her healing. We pray that you would be with her and with her doctors and with her nurses, with her treatment team. Give them wisdom and discernment. We pray that you would be with Alan, and that you would be with Laura as they try and determine how best to care for their mother, and for the different decisions that they have to make, whether they be traveling decisions or financial decisions or anything like that. We pray that you would be with them and with their families. We pray for Nancy's sister, Veda, that you would allow her to heal quickly from this broken shoulder. And we thank you for the prognosis that Josh's mom, Dee, was given. We pray that it would continue to be a good thing and that she would be able to heal and rest and to feel better soon. We also pray for Sharon, for her family, especially for her niece. As they go through this period of loss and mourning, may you be with the entire family. May you draw them nearer to one another, and may you draw them all nearer to you and provide them comfort, strength, and healing. Lord, we thank you for Larry and for everything that he means to and does for our church, and we pray that you would be with him during this difficult time, that you would be with Arvel, his father. Help him to feel better. Help him to quit falling. We thank you that he hasn't broken anything, but we pray that he would be able to get his balance back up where it needs to be. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, We invite your Spirit to dwell amongst us. We ask that you would help us to remember that worship is about you and not about us. May we worship you fully and freely. We pray all of these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One thing I thought of while we were praying, Jane Long was in the hospital, and I found out about it yesterday. Wanda sent me a message. I don't know why she was in the hospital, but she is back out. So just keep Jane in your prayers, if you will, as she recovers during this time. I haven't been able to get in touch with her yet, so just keep her in your prayers, though. I'm sure she would appreciate it. Let's see. As you're able to, please stand for our next hymn. And Are We Yet Alive? We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 6. And for those of you at home who may have a United Methodist hymnal, it is number 553. So stand as you are able as we sing this hymn together. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, Clayton is going to play us a little ditty on the piano. So let us prepare ourselves for a musical selection from Clayton.
Is this thing on? Hi. So this morning, Elena Douglas was supposed to be joining me, the trumpeter that is here sometimes, and she texted me this morning and she said she wasn't feeling well. And so if we could also keep her in her prayers, I forgot to mention her until just now. So keep Elena in your prayers, and I'm going to play my part of the special that we were going to do. And if you could imagine Elena's beautiful trumpet playing over it, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Clayton, for that beautiful selection. At this time, we want to say a prayer over our tithes and offerings. And as always, just a reminder, there's a basket here and one over at the narthex where you can put your offering. You can also mail it in or drop it in the mailbox. And you can give online on our Facebook page. And you can also see if you happen to see Wanda and I here and drop it off there that time as well. But at this time, let us say a prayer over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded as always, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the book of the prophet Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and verse 10. Help if I was in Jonah, wouldn't it? There we go. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. All right, it's confession time. How many people have ever done a job not as well as you could have? Anybody ever done that? Done a poor job? Intentionally, even. We've all done that, right? We've all been there. We have different reasons for not doing it. Maybe we don't feel good, right? Maybe we're mad. Maybe we're distracted. Maybe we say, I don't make enough money to do this kind of stuff, right? Scripture tells us that we should do all things as if we are doing them for the Lord, as if we were working for the Lord. Because ultimately, that's who we're working for, right? We are witnesses to Christ the moment that we let people know we're Christians, right? And, you know, people watch Christians. It's unfortunate that the scripture that most people in the world know is, judge not lest you be judged, right? And yet they also look to see how they can judge you. But that's kind of on them, not on us. We're not held to a standard by anyone except for God. So we aren't supposed to work as if we're working for other people. But you know what? We're people. We're human. And sometimes we don't do our best. Now, Jonah made sure not to do his best. And he was working for God. I mean, it wasn't like he was, you know, down here at Little Caesars making pizzas and saying, boy, I make minimum wage and people are grumpy and everything. And my boss is, you know, he's always in a bad mood and I'm just supposed to put two cups of cheese on top of this thing, but I'm only putting one because I don't feel like dipping the cup in again for two. Jonah was working for God, directly for God, and he still did a bad job. I think that says a lot about us as people, but it says a lot about God's grace. So what's going on here with Jonah? Most of us know the story. God calls Jonah, one of his prophets. He says, hey, you need to go to Nineveh, and you need to tell them to repent. If they don't repent, then I'm going to destroy them. But if they do repent, then I'll save them. And Jonah didn't want to do that because Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. The Ninevites were his enemies. The Ninevites had killed people that he loved, had enslaved people that he loved. They'd blasphemed his God. Jonah didn't like them. So what does Jonah do? Does he say, all right, God, I'll go and do that? Nope. If Nineveh is over here, Jonah goes over here. If you look at the map, Jonah goes in the complete opposite direction of where he's supposed to go. And Jonah does something even more that we don't think about because we're not Israelites. Jonah gets on a boat in the Mediterranean Sea. Now you might think, okay, who cares? Well, the Israelites were terrified of the sea. If you read some of the different things in Scripture, they talk about a lot of sea creatures. Leviathan, right? Leviathan's this great sea serpent. The Philistines are the people from the sea that come and attack Israel. The sea is a scary place. We don't like the sea. Jonah is so not going to do what God wants him to do that he even goes somewhere that he is terrified of. He gets on the boat, and off they sail, and a big storm comes. And the people in the boat say, oh, somebody has angered a god. Got to figure out who did it. So they cast lots, and lo and behold, Jonah is the man. And Jonah says, just throw me overboard. It's better, you know, it's better that you throw me overboard. Now, I have to give Jonah credit. At least he was like, you know, I guess I probably shouldn't bring these people down to the bottom of the sea with me. But the people are even better people than Jonah. They say, no, we don't want to throw you overboard. You'll die. But finally, they say, well, I guess we're going to have to throw Jonah overboard because this storm's not going to go anywhere. So they do, and we don't actually know what kind of creature swallows Jonah. The Hebrew is really just a sea creature. Some people say it was a whale. Some people say it was a huge fish. Maybe it was an octopus. We don't really know. It was just a large sea creature. And Jonah spends 3 days in the belly of this sea creature. And he finally says, okay, I'll go to Nineveh and I'll preach to them. So the fish, whale, octopus, whatever, spits him up on the beach and he heads over to Nineveh. And what does Jonah do? He has had a come to Jesus meeting, right? And he's on fire. He goes to Nineveh and he just preaches the roof down, doesn't he? Nope. Nineveh is a 3 days journey to do everything God told him to do. God told him he wanted him to go every street, and he wanted him to preach, repent. So what does Jonah do? Well, if you put it in Rockwood perspective, Jonah marches down 27 here, And that's it. Doesn't go down all the streets of Rockwood. He just heads on down. And he goes, God's going to destroy everything. And then he goes outside of the city after he's done. Maybe he goes up here to the tower up there where the star is and everything. He sits and he waits. He figures, those Ninevites aren't going to repent. I didn't even tell them to repent. And as we all know, our enemies are dumber than we are, right? So they don't know to repent. So sit here and I'm going to watch the destruction. And Scripture tells us that it gets hot and Jonah's kind of sweating. And God allows a plant to grow up and give him shade and everything. So Jonah's sitting there having him a good old time, probably sipping him some lemonade or something. And nothing happens. And still nothing happens. In fact, unbeknownst to Jonah, the people of the city have repented. Even though Jonah didn't do a good job, the people of the city repented. God had mercy on them. And what does Jonah do? Does he say, wow, look at the mercy and compassion of the Lord? Nope. See, this is why I ran away, because I knew that you were a gracious and merciful God, and that you would forgive them. Isn't that horrible? That's terrible that God would forgive people. He's a gracious and merciful God. That's just bad. And Jonah sits there and he pouts. And so God sends a worm to this little tree thing that has been giving Jonah shade. The worm eats it and it dies. And what does Jonah do? He starts whining. Oh, it's so hot. My tree died. And God says, is it right for you to be angry about this plant? And Jonah says, yes, I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. What a drama queen, right? I mean, I used to work with teenagers. You know, I've told y'all about it when I worked at Helen Ross McNabb and then Florence Crittenden Agency before that. And many of us have worked with teenagers or had teenagers, and we all know that teenagers are dramatic, and teenage girls can be especially dramatic. They all, they want to die. Oh, you're so mean. I wish I was dead. Or, you know, apparently Jonah has turned into a teenage girl at this point or something. No offense to all of the women who were once teenage girls. And God says to Jonah, you've been concerned about this plant, though you didn't tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. Should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? And that's how Jonah ends, with a rhetorical question, because the readers are supposed to answer this question. You know, this last year especially was tough on us. These last few years, honestly, I told people the first election, presidential election that I could vote in was when W. Bush was president. And it seems like every election since that has gotten progressively more antagonistic. And not just from one side or the other or, you know, whatever, from all sides, right? And one thing that I've noticed is that whatever party is in power, their supporters ask for mercy and their detractors ask for vengeance. Regardless of who it is, right? If the Democrats have power, those who support the Democrats say, you know, we need to come together. This is, you know, they're your president. And the Republicans say, I'm not my president. I didn't vote for him. Or rah, 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 and, you know. And the same happens the other way, right? Republicans are in power. Listen here, you voted for, even if you didn't vote for him, we need unity. We're supposed to be Americans. But when they're not in power, oh, I'm not my president. See, we want mercy for ourselves, and we want vengeance for those people, whoever those people may be. It doesn't have to be political. It's just that we're so inundated with politics that that seems to be what's at the forefront. But it doesn't have to be political. It can be anything that separates us. I mean, it can be income level. It can be denominations. It can be where you live in the world. Heck, it can be whether or not you like Tennessee, like my man Dave over here, or Alabama, like some people in this room whose names I won't mention, or whatever other team, you know. Heck, in this area, Rockwood, Harriman, and Kingston aren't 10 miles from each other, but boy, let me tell you, if you live in Rockwood and you like Harriman, you better not tell anybody. If you live in Harriman and you like Kingston, you better not tell anybody. And if you live in Kingston, you don't even know that Rockwood and Harriman exist, so you know. I saw a comic recently, and it's funny. It has these two little girls praying. One is a Christian, and she has, you know, a picture of Jesus, and she's praying, Lord, please let me win the spelling bee. And the next one, this girl is obviously Hindu. She has a little picture of Ganesh, and she's praying, oh, Ganesh, please let me win the spelling bee. And then the last panel has a picture of Jesus and Ganesh, like, going at it, you know, like they're brawling. And, you know, it's funny and it's silly and we get it. But that's kind of how we are. Let me win and not them. Now, I understand somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. That's life. I get that. But there's a difference between winning and destroying. There's a difference between being Jonah and being Nineveh. See, we have no problem asking God to forgive us. We have a big problem forgiving other people. You know, I mentioned politics earlier. I have people in my family who don't talk to each other. Who, if you mention the other person's name, be prepared to hear some words that you usually only hear in rated R movies. Because because they voted for whoever. Who cares? Is it important to vote? It's absolutely important to vote. Do we have differences in opinion? We absolutely have differences in opinion. But brothers and sisters, Jesus is not going to ask you, so, this last election, did you vote for Democrat, Republican, or Independent, or just not vote? And then say, well, let's see here, you voted for this one, so you go to hell, and you get to go to purgatory for the Catholics in the room, and you get to go to heaven here, and you're just going to stay on earth for the rest of your life. Bless you, because we don't want people like you around here. You know, Jesus isn't going to say, did you root for Tennessee or Alabama? Jesus isn't going to say, would you rather Rockwood wins or Harriman wins? Jesus isn't going to say, were you Baptist or Methodist or Episcopalian or non-denominational? Jesus isn't going to have his computer make noises in the middle of his sermon. I love you, Keith. Jesus is going to say, what did you do in my name? He's going to say, did you love your neighbor? Did you represent me well? Did you remain humble? Did you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? The beauty, though, of this story of Jonas is that Jonah is so much us. Jonah is petty. Jonah is childish. Jonah is vindictive. Jonah is unforgiving. Jonah is selfish. Jonah is hateful. Jonah is proud. And let's be honest, we're all those things at some point in our lives. The nicest lady that I ever knew, the most Christian lady that I ever knew, if you mention the guy who beat her to be valedictorian by 1/10 of a GPA point, all of a sudden, she wasn't a Christian. She didn't like that guy. And we're talking, I didn't know her until probably 50 years after it happened. And she acknowledged, she says, That's my one struggle. She's the sweetest lady you'd ever know. We all have these things about us. But the beauty is, one, God still used Jonah. And two, Jonah didn't stop God. Nineveh still repented. God still had mercy and grace. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. Stop looking for the ways that we are different, because we are different. Start looking for the image of God within everyone, because that's God's ultimate point here. He says, Jonah, you're worried about something you didn't do anything to get, and yet you want me to destroy happily 120,000 people, as well as many animals who didn't even have anything to do with anything that I created. created them and the people I created in my image. And you want me to destroy them. Just because they act like you would act if you were in their situation. Brothers and sisters, we are Christians first. And we have to act like we're Christians first. Because nobody else is going to. So I encourage you, follow Christ. Follow Christ first. Even if you get to heaven and he's wearing crimson and yelling, "Roll Tide." Even if you get to heaven and you realize that he's got on a Kingston sweatshirt. Even if you get to heaven and you realize, hey, wait a minute, he really is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He doesn't care what the Republicans, Democrats, Independents, or whoever else is doing. Even if you get to heaven and he's not white with blonde hair and blue eyes, Christ is King and we are his people first before we are anything else. So let's act like it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to be merciful to the merciless, to be graceful to those who only seek destruction, to love our enemy, to bless our persecutor. At the end of the day, Lord, help us to be Christ to a world that doesn't know him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And taking those, may you give them to all whom you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace. Mm-hmm.